What drove Lucifer to defy God? Part 1. The Creation of Lucifer. In the beginning, God, in His infinite wisdom and love, created the heavens and the earth. Among His creations was a hierarchy of heavenly beings, each designed with a purpose and a role. Among these angelic beings, none was more radiant, more awe-inspiring, and more glorified than the archangel Lucifer. Lucifer was a being of extraordinary beauty and light. He was created to reflect God's glory, to shine like the morning star, and to guide the heavenly hosts in worship and adoration of the Creator. His appearance was said to be unmatched by any other being in heaven. His form was adorned with precious stones, sapphires, diamonds, and emeralds that shimmered in the divine light. His wings were vast and majestic, and his face radiated the light of the dawn. He was the perfect reflection of God's magnificence. God appointed Lucifer to a position of great power and authority. He was an anointed cherub, and his role was to be a guardian of God's throne, a protector of the holiness of heaven. Lucifer stood in the presence of God, close to the divine fire, and he was entrusted with leading the angelic choir in praise and worship. Lucifer's voice was like a symphony of the most beautiful music ever heard. He was known to lead the angels in glorious songs of worship, his melodies filling the heavens with joy and harmony. His beauty, power, and musical talents made him a favored angel among the heavenly hosts, and there was no one like him. God loved Lucifer deeply, as he did all his creations, but Lucifer's role was special. He was entrusted with great responsibility and was given the freedom to express his devotion to God in his unique way. Yet within the perfection of Lucifer's being, a seed of pride began to take root. Though he was created to serve God and reflect his glory, Lucifer began to turn his gaze inward. He began to admire his own beauty, his power, and his authority. The seed of pride was small at first, almost imperceptible, but it grew. Lucifer began to think of himself as more than just a servant of God. He began to imagine what it would be like to rule, to have dominion over the heavens, to sit upon the throne of God himself. The thought was intoxicating, and slowly, Lucifer's heart began to change. Part 2. The Seed of Rebellion. The seed of pride that had taken root in Lucifer's heart began to blossom, ever so subtly, like a vine that slowly creeps up the walls of a mighty fortress. Lucifer found himself gazing into the heavenly pools, where the waters reflected his image. He would admire the sparkle of his eyes, the perfection of his form, and the way his wings caught the light, casting shimmering patterns upon the clouds. "What a wondrous being I am," Lucifer mused to himself. He compared himself to the other angels, and could not help but notice how they paled in comparison. "Surely," he thought, "I am the most glorious of all creation." Pride, like a dark cloud slowly creeping over a sunlit landscape, began to dim the pure light within Lucifer. He no longer sang for the joy of praising his Creator. He sang for the adulation of the angels. He noticed how they followed his every movement, how they marveled at his brilliance. They were drawn to him, captivated by his presence. It was then that a new thought took hold, one far more dangerous than pride. "Why should I not be worshipped as God?" Lucifer, in his heart, began to covet the throne of heaven. He imagined himself seated upon it, the angels bowing before him, offering him the same adoration they gave to God. He was, after all, the most beautiful, the most powerful of all beings. Why should he not rule? The idea festered within him, feeding his pride, and soon he could no longer contain it. He began to whisper his thoughts to others, to those angels who admired him most. He spoke of freedom, of casting off the limitations imposed by servitude. He sowed seeds of doubt, suggesting that they were all entitled to more than what they had been given. He played on their admiration of him, convincing them that under his rule, they would achieve heights never before imagined. "Why should we serve," he asked them, "when we could rule?" His words were like honey to those who listened. They admired his beauty, his strength, and his vision of a new order, a kingdom where they could be free from the laws of heaven, where they could reign as gods in their own right. Slowly, one by one, they began to follow him. They pledged their loyalty, their devotion, and their strength to Lucifer, believing that with him they could overthrow the one who sat on the throne. Lucifer's army grew in secret. His heart swelled with pride as he envisioned the moment when he would finally cast God from his throne and take his place as the ruler of all creation. His power seemed unstoppable, his influence spreading like wildfire through the ranks of heaven. He believed that he could not fail. And so, the rebellion was born. A rebellion that would shake the foundations of heaven itself. Part 3. War in Heaven. The day of the rebellion arrived with a stillness that hung heavy in the air. The angels who remained loyal to God sensed that something was wrong, though they could not yet comprehend the scale of the treachery that was about to unfold. Lucifer stood at the head of his army, his wings spread wide, his eyes blazing with the fire of ambition. Behind him, a legion of angels, once loyal servants of God, now stood ready to fight for their new leader. They believed in him. They believed that he would lead them to victory, to power, to glory. But heaven is not a place where evil can go unnoticed for long. God, in his omniscience, had seen the rebellion brewing from the very beginning. He had watched as pride had taken hold of Lucifer's heart and spread like poison through the ranks of the angels. Yet God, in his infinite patience, had waited. He had given Lucifer every chance to repent, to turn away from his pride and return to his true purpose. But Lucifer's heart had grown hard, and his desire for power had consumed him. God's voice, deep and resonant, echoed through the heavens. "Lucifer, why have you turned against me? Why do you seek that which is not yours to claim?" Lucifer stood defiant, his pride too great to allow him to acknowledge his fault. "Why should you alone sit upon the throne?" Lucifer demanded, his voice filled with the venom of rebellion. "I am your creation, the most beautiful, the most powerful of all. I deserve to rule. I will ascend above the stars, and I will make myself like the Most High." There was silence in heaven as the two forces faced each other. Lucifer, with his rebellious angels and the loyal hosts of heaven, led by the Archangel Michael. Michael, a warrior angel of unparalleled strength and devotion, stood firm in the face of Lucifer's defiance. He looked upon his former brother with sadness in his eyes, but with resolve in his heart. "Lucifer," Michael said, his voice steady, "you were once the greatest among us, but now you have chosen the path of darkness. You cannot win this battle. You fight against the Almighty, against the one who created you. Turn back now, before it is too late." But Lucifer's heart was set. There was no turning back. With a cry that echoed through the heavens, he charged forward, leading his army into battle. The skies of heaven, once filled with light and music, now erupted in chaos as angels clashed in a cosmic struggle that spanned the stars. Wings beat furiously, swords clashed with an otherworldly ring, and the heavens trembled under the weight of the conflict. Michael and his angels fought with a righteous fury, their strength bolstered by their unwavering faith in God. Lucifer, consumed by his pride and rage, fought with a ferocity that shook the very fabric of heaven. The battle raged on, neither side yielding, until at last Michael confronted Lucifer face to face. The two archangels, once brothers in glory, now stood as bitter enemies. Their swords met in a clash that sent shockwaves through the heavens. "You cannot defeat the Almighty," Michael declared as their swords locked. "I will not bow," Lucifer snarled, pushing against Michael with all his might. But Michael, empowered by the will of God, overcame Lucifer. With a final powerful blow, Michael struck Lucifer down. The once glorious morning star fell, his wings scorched, his light dimmed. In that moment, the rebellion was crushed, and the angels who had followed Lucifer were cast down with him. Part 4. The Fall to Darkness. The earth trembled as Lucifer and his fallen angels were cast out of heaven. They fell like shooting stars, burning with the fire of their rebellion, crashing to the earth with a force that shook the foundations of the world. Lucifer, once the bearer of light, was now the prince of darkness, his once beautiful form twisted by his pride and hatred. No longer was he called Lucifer. Now he was Satan, the adversary, the accuser, the enemy of God and all that was good. His followers, the angels who had once basked in the glory of heaven, were now demons. their once radiant forms now twisted and grotesque, reflecting the darkness that had taken hold of their hearts. Satan rose from the ashes of his fall, his heart burning with a hatred that knew no bounds. He knew that he could never again ascend to the heights of heaven, never again stand in the presence of God. But his pride would not allow him to admit defeat. He would not bow, even in his fallen state. Instead, he vowed to wage war against God in any way he could. If he could not rule heaven, he would seek to corrupt and destroy God's creation. And so, Satan set his sights on the earth, on humanity, the beings that God had created in his own image. He despised them, for they had been given something he had never known: redemption, grace, and the opportunity to dwell in God's love. In the Garden of Eden, Satan found his chance. Disguised as a serpent, he slithered toward Eve, the first woman, and with the same cunning that had led his angelic rebellion, he whispered lies into her ear. He sowed doubt in her heart, just as he had with the angels who had followed him. He told her that God was holding her back, that if she ate from the forbidden tree, she would become like God, knowing good and evil. Eve, tempted by the serpent's words, took the fruit and ate, and in that moment, sin entered the world. Satan had succeeded in corrupting humanity, severing their perfect relationship with God. He reveled in his victory, for though he could no longer reign in heaven, he had now become the ruler of a fallen world. Part 5: The Eternal Struggle. Though Satan had been cast down to earth, his war against God was far from over. He now sought to lead humanity astray, to turn them away from God and into darkness. He whispered lies into the hearts of men, tempting them with power, wealth, and pleasures of the flesh. He delighted in their fall, for with each soul that turned away from God, Satan believed he was one step closer to victory. But Satan's power was limited. He could tempt, deceive, and corrupt, but he could not overcome the will of God. Throughout history, God continued to offer redemption to humanity, even in the face of Satan's schemes. Prophets were sent, miracles were performed, and finally, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to defeat sin and death once and for all. At the cross, Satan believed he had won. He watched as Jesus was nailed to the wooden beams, his body broken, his blood spilling onto the earth. But what Satan did not understand was that this sacrifice was the very means by which God would redeem humanity. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, the power of sin and death was broken, and the way was opened for humanity to be reconciled with God. Satan's defeat was sealed in that moment, though he continues to fight, refusing to accept the inevitable. He prowls the earth, seeking to devour those who are weak, those who are lost. But his time is limited. The book of Revelation speaks of a final battle, a time when Satan will be cast into the lake of fire, where he will be eternally separated from God and his creation. And so, the story of Lucifer, the light-bearer turned adversary, serves as a reminder of the dangers of pride, the consequences of rebellion, and the ultimate triumph of good over evil. Though Satan may wage war against God and his creation, his defeat is certain, and the kingdom of God will reign forever in glory, peace, and light.